going to share the Word of God with us today. Ramona, come.
Well, thank you for being with me today and joining with me to serve the Lord and to worship the Lord. So I thank you for this opportunity that the Lord has given unto me, and I pray that He will just give to me the words that He has for me to say, to share with you. Today I've titled this sermon, The Creator, because how many know that He is the Creator? He's the Creator from the beginning. And so we're going to start today in John 1. But before we start, I just want to begin this with a prayer. And so join with me today as I pray. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you come into this place and you bring your word, Lord Jesus, unto the people, the word that you want for them to hear. And I pray, Lord God, that you would prepare the soil of our hearts to receive the seed, Lord Jesus, that you have planned for us from the beginning, Lord Jesus. In your precious name I pray, amen and amen. In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were created by Him. There was nothing that was created that was not created by Him." In John 1:3, it says, "All things were made by Him." In John 1:4, it says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The darkness did not understand it," in verse 5. How many times do we look around and people shake their heads, and they just shake their heads at maybe those Christians, and man, you know, those guys are, they don't understand it. You know, they don't understand the Lord. They don't understand what He's doing in our life. They don't understand it. In verse 10, if we go down to verse 10, it says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. But the world did not know Him. In verse 11, it says, "He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. But as many who has received Him, to them gave Him the power to become the sons of God." You know, I think about how many times we try to do something in our own strength. And we try to do it over and over and sometimes over again, and it just doesn't work. Amen. Maybe we're trying to break a bad habit, smoking, whatever it may be. But, you know, a lot of times we try to do these things in our own strength. And, you know, it doesn't work very well. But it says, "To as many who has received Jesus, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God." In verse 13 it says, "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." You know, my dad used to tell a story about the Hart House. You know, there was a man who had a very fancy house that was shaped like a heart. And every spare moment that he had, he tried to make his house beautiful. You know, he would buy little things to fix it up. He might fix things that were broken. He wanted his house to be the most beautiful house. Well, you know, the king heard about the Hart House, and he loved the Hart House. He just loved the idea of the Hart House, and he wanted to go and visit. When the man found out that the king was coming to his house, then he got nervous. He's like, "Wow, you know, now I really have to fix up my house, and everything has to be perfect." But, you know, the more he tried to fix the house, the more things that he found wrong with it. And, you know, this thing would break, and that thing would break. And then he would realize, "Oh, man, what is wrong with this?" And he said, "The king just cannot come to my house because it's never going to be right." Well, you know, you can't tell the king to do anything because the king does what he wants to do. So the king came to the man's house, and the man was pretty nervous. And he didn't want to let the king in because he knew his house was pretty bad. And it just didn't hold up to par with the king. But finally he decided, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and let the king in anyway. And so he decided, even though he knew the house wasn't quite what he wanted it to be, he let the king in. And when the king came in, the man was quite surprised at what he said. He said, you know, he said, I've heard about your house a long time ago. And he said, I knew that it was here. And he said, I loved the hard house. And he said, because I loved the hard house, I wanted to come in and make your house beautiful. I wanted to make your house perfect. And you know, that's the way it is with the Lord. He wants to come in when we try to do everything just right, and sometimes it doesn't go the way that we want, we think it should go, or we can't just make it right. You know, the Lord wants to come in and do cleaning to where nobody else can clean. He wants to take care of things that nobody else can take care of. In Psalms 127:1, it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes in vain. You know, I think sometimes about carpenters when they build a house. And, you know, they build a house and they lay the foundation. And, you know, the word says that we can build a house and lay our foundation on sand. And when the storm comes and the storm blows and the rain comes, what happens to sand? It just washes all away. But you know, when we build our house on a solid foundation of the Word of God, when we build our house on a foundation that is incorruptible seed, that does not fade away, that does not perish, when the rain comes, when the storm comes, our foundation is built on the rock. And that house, the Bible says, the house does stand. In Mark 4:36, Jesus sent away the multitude that he had been ministering to, and they took him, even as it was, in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves that beat the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him up, and they said unto him, Master, don't you care that we are perishing? And he arose and rebuked the wind, in verse 39. And he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. In verse 40, it says, he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And in verse 41, it says, they feared exceedingly and said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So let's go back to John 1:10. The word says he was in the world and he created the world, but the world did not know him. But these men here that were in the ship with Jesus, they did know him. They were with him. They were his disciples. They saw miracles that he did. They saw amazing things. And yet when the wind came and the waves came, they were afraid. They were afraid. And, you know, I wonder sometimes how many times in our lives that the wind and the waves come and sometimes we're afraid. But, you know, Jesus came, and when they called on him, notice he was asleep in the boat. And when they called on him, then he woke up and he spoke to the waves. You know, I think that he was aware of it, frankly, the whole time. But he did not come until they called him. But when he came, he spoke to the winds and waves, and they did obey him. The word says he came into his own, but his own did not receive him.
But as many as received him, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God. Many times I wonder if in our lives we have the power to overcome something, but maybe we're afraid and we don't call on the name of the Lord because we turn and we look at the winds and the waves. You know, I think about Peter when he was in the ship. And Peter was in the ship and it was very stormy, and Jesus walked across the water. And he said, and Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Come on, come out here with me." And he got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. And most of you know the story about how Peter walked upon the water. But as Peter walked on the water, he began to look around. He looked at the winds and the waves. And as he looked at the winds and the waves, he became afraid. And as he became afraid, he began to sink. And he called out to the name of Jesus, and Jesus instantly grabbed him by the hand and pulled him up so that he began walking again up on the water. How many times do we need to just call upon the name of Jesus in our lives? As many as received Jesus, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, in verse 13, nor of the will of man, but of God. The winds and the waves still know the name of the Lord. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, "He is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he lives forever to make intercession for them." I want to tell you that whether or not you forgot maybe who you were in the Lord, Jesus did not forget. And the devil didn't forget either. He knows who Jesus is, and he still shudders at that name. And he knows where Jesus has brought you, and he knows what the Lord has for you in your future, and even right now. And I will tell you that when a weightlifter lifts weights, it is not fun. How many people, I don't know how many people lift weights or how many people have ever gone to the gym, but when they go to the gym, it is not fun. And whenever they are finished, they are sore and it hurts. But you know what? It's in that pain that they are getting stronger, and they are getting stronger, and they are getting stronger. And you know, sometimes the Lord brings us through the storm, and it's in that storm that we learn to trust the Lord. And it is in that storm that we learn to look upon the Lord and say, "Jesus, help me, lift me up." And he lifts us up, and we begin again walking on the water. Because in this time, in the time that you come at hardship in your life and pain in your life, sometimes we don't see what God is doing, but he is still on the throne. And he is still true to his nature. He is the Creator. In John 8:12, it says, "Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If any man be in Christ, he has the light of life, and he does not walk in darkness." In John 1:1, it says, "The beginning, the Word was God, and the Word was with God." In John 1:2, it says, and we covered this a little bit already, "The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made." You know, I know people in my life. My daughter actually loves to make things. She likes to paint, and she paints a lot. And we get together because I really enjoy crafts and that, and a lot of times we'll make crafts and necklaces and that sort of thing. And you know, there's a lot of people that like to create things. And sometimes they like to take something old and make it new. Or sometimes they like to make something out of, you know, just whatever they have. The Lord is like that. He is the creator. He is true to his nature. In the beginning, he created the earth. And you know what? He still likes to create things. He likes to create things in us. When we receive Jesus, he makes it all new. He comes in and he makes what was old into something new because he is true to his nature. He is still the creator. God is able to do abundantly more than we can hope or even imagine. The Lord is still the creator, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, because his seed is not fleshly, but it is God. Jesus said, if any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, all things become new. He is true to his nature. He is the creator. In Mark 5:22, the ruler of the synagogue named Jairus came and fell at Jesus' feet. He said, my daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed and live. The people around him, if you skip down to verse 35, and this is Mark 5, verse 35. The rulers of the house said, your daughter is dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. But Jesus, in verse 36, said, don't be afraid, only believe. Has the enemy lied to you about something in your life or something going on that says, don't bother Jesus anymore, there's no use? Jesus said, don't be afraid, only believe. The devil will tell you today, be afraid. There's no hope. You might as well not bother Jesus anymore. But Jesus said, fear not. In 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. In Joshua 1:9, it says, he told Joshua, he said, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. The Lord your God is with you. He said, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Because the Lord your God goes wherever you go. You know, when we accept Jesus and we accept the Spirit of the Lord, his Spirit goes with us so that we are not alone. Whatever it is that we walk through, whether it be on the mountain or whether it be on the valley, the Lord is with us. It says that he will never leave us or forsake us. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, there's no truth anymore. But Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the life and the way. No man comes to the Father except through me. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When Jesus came in to heal Jairus' daughter, the people laughed at him. They laughed him to scorn. And you know, I think about how many times people laugh, maybe at even Christians. But you know, when the people laughed at him, Jesus put everyone out of that place. And there was only three people, Peter, James, and John, that he kept with him in that place. And then he said, don't be afraid, only believe. And he brought the little girl back from the dead. You know, Jesus was getting rid of the unbelievers, I think, maybe in that place. And he's still the creator. He's still true to himself. How many times, I wonder, do we need to cling to who we know that God is to be? How many times do we need to throw out fear and unbelief in our lives to cling to the promises that God has given us? You know, just like Peter in the storm, I think sometimes that we need to look to Jesus and grab onto his hand and say, Lord, help us. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy. I would like to give you an opportunity today. I'm going to cut this short. But I'd like to give you an opportunity, if you don't know Christ, to come to know Christ. I would like to give you the opportunity to come and let the elders of the church pray. If you cannot come and you want to sit in your seat, if you want to raise your hand, then we can pray for you. Because the Lord is the Creator. He takes what we can't do ourselves and he makes it possible through Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that comes. He's the King that comes and cleans our hard house. And he's the one that makes it possible because of him. Not because of who we are, what we can do, what we've done in the past, what our abilities are, how rich we are, how famous we are, but because of the mercies of the Lord. And so, if you would like to receive Jesus, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to join with me together in prayer, and I want you to raise your hand for Jesus to come. And if you would like to accept Jesus, then I pray that you just raise your hand in Jesus' name and someone will come and pray with you. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are in this place. I thank you, Lord God, that you come, Lord Jesus, and you do, Lord God, what only you can do. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you, Lord, have given us the seed of the word of truth that is not corruptible, that is an inheritance kept for us in heaven by the power of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, and I pray, Lord God, for every person in this building. I pray, Lord God, that you would come into our lives and into our hearts, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would do a new thing in each heart and each life, a new thing that only you can do, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, I pray. I thank you, Lord God, for your amazing grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to give you an opportunity, if you're watching this broadcast, to accept Christ. Ramona has told you how important it is for you to know Jesus. He paid a great price. He wants to come in and change your life. You may look at the past and say, well, the past is so bad, I can never change. You might not be able to change it. You can't. Just like the man with the house, and he couldn't clean it up. Jesus can do it. And so I ask you today, if you would like to make a decision to follow Jesus, to just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have made provision for me to know you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I recognize that I am a sinner. I have made a mess of my life, but I know that you have made it possible that you can make me a new person in you. And so right now, I ask you to take away my sins. I give them to you. I release them to you. And I ask you to make me a new person. I will not go by feelings, but I will go by the word of God. I am new in you, in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you can rejoice because you're a child of God. You are redeemed, and Jesus is in your life, and he will help you fight the battles. It doesn't mean you won't encounter them, but he's there to help you. I want to thank you today for joining us at Living Waters Community Church in Casa Grande, Arizona. May you have a wonderful week. Keep looking up. God is still on the throne. Thank you. Okay, Ramona, thank you for that wonderful word that tells us the message of the gospel. There is no greater message than to know that Jesus loves us and that he paid the penalty for our sins. And the whole world needs to know that, huh? Amen. Amen. Is there anybody today that has some special need that you need us to pray about? Yes, okay.
Oh. Pray for him and lift him up. Yes. I think it will really
yes.
Help him.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Much needed love and help.
Tell me his first name.
His name is Juan.
Juan, okay. Yes, we will. We will pray. God is a strength, and he is a very present help in time of trouble. We all go through those times of loss, and we need the Lord, and God will be with him. Is there anybody else that has something especially you want us to pray about today?